I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison. I'm here 2 hours a day from 9 to 11 o'clock, offering up a safe space to the independent thinkers out there, beholden to no party, no politician. It's a small, select, elite group of listeners to this show, I believe. Today is Friday. We will get into, as we do every Friday, next hour, False Flag Friday, and then end up documenting the world's descent into madness on this week on the crazy train. The first hour we could get into if you want to, if anybody wants to. And I felt like I got the vibe that maybe people wanted to do this a few days ago. Maybe you've calmed down or maybe woken up. But we will do Friday Fight Club if you want to call in and disagree. I'm going to give you plenty of material to object to in a few moments here. So we can do Friday Fight Club if you want to, and you can call in 601-879-0002. First of all, we'll get to some quotes of the day. I found this interesting. Russell Brand has been making some interesting videos for the past year or so. Has this guy been given any movie parts anytime recently? I would imagine he may have been blacklisted. Now, he's a comedian. He does stand-up routines. That's much harder for them to cancel. We see a lot of people, comedians, that are bucking the system and going out there and speaking their minds, and they can't, seems like they're selling tickets. But when it comes to Hollywood, I don't know if Russell Brand is going to see another part anytime soon, but he does have some interesting segments, and this was one of them.
I've made a lot of mistakes. I've been wrong many times, but I'm beginning to think I'm right about this. The mainstream media is not your friend. The culture is not your friend. The government is not your friend. Big business is not your friend. They are operating collegiately in unison to create a set of systems that are beneficial to them and disadvantage you.
Yeah, there we go. Yes, succinct. I think you've got it, Russell Brand. I think you may be right. Now, I've got some quotes of the day today. And here's the thing with quotes of the day today. Lots of times they are, you know, founding fathers, Ron Paul, Libertarian Party or Republican Party tweets. I give you quotes of the day every day, but these need to stick with you as I go through, particularly my first hour and a half of today's show. I have to kind of internalize these quotes of the day to use them as reference pieces as we go through the material of the, particularly the first hour. First quote of the day is from Nietzsche. He said, "Madness is the exception in individuals, but the rule in groups." I don't think I've run across this quote before, but I have said so many times, I love people. I really do. I can get along with just about anybody. I find people very interesting and engaging. One-on-one, I'm a people person. But when it comes to society, I'm out. I've said that many times, and I guess this explains it. Nietzsche said, madness is the exception in individuals, but the rule in groups. And that's what it is. Once people start getting together in groups, they lose their ever-loving minds. Now, here is an oldie but a goodie. This may be the fifth or sixth time I've used this quote of the day, but I'm going to use it again. Again, this is something you need to store for the rest of this show. And remember this quote. This is from Carl Sagan. Carl Sagan said, "One of the saddest lessons of history is this. If we've been bamboozled long enough, we tend to reject any evidence of the bamboozle. We're no longer interested in finding out the truth. The bamboozle has captured us. It's simply too painful to acknowledge, even to ourselves, that we've been taken. Once you give a charlatan power over you, you almost never get it back." Now, we can all interpret this one and see this in all kinds of different scenarios in our lives and our society and our history. People are constantly bamboozled. But the part that I think we see the most of now, it's simply too painful to acknowledge, even to ourselves, that we've been taken, not to mention the peer pressure of an awakening in a like-minded group that you dare not rebel against. You'll be thrown out of the group if you disagree. So that's about the bamboozle. And then this is the last quote of the day to keep in mind for today's show. Men of principle are always bold, but those who are bold are not always men of principle. And that is a saying from Confucius. Men of principle are always bold, but those who are bold are not always men of principle. So saith Confucius. So I give you that because I'm telling you, I think I smell a giant bamboozle, and I'm going to give you a little bit of proof to that. If you want to call in for Fight Club, 601-879-0002, and here I'll kind of prime the pump there. I don't want Donald Trump to run for president again. I think the FBI raid is political theater, and I think that all of those people out there who think that the Democrats are scared of Donald Trump and that's why they're pulling out all these stops, I think you're wrong. I disagree with you. I think they want Donald Trump to run again because he's the only chance they've got to make a 2024 election even close. The Democrats are quite obvious to everybody in the country at this point, except for their most ardent people who cannot accept the bamboozle that the Democratic Party has been to them. But for any thinking people, any Republicans, any independents out there, you understand the Democrats are a train wreck. They need something to run on, and what do they go to more than anything else? Not Trump. Running against Trump. And I think there's a possibility. I don't know. This is a big one. I'm not saying I don't even know if I could give you a 60-40 on this one or anything else, but Trump may be the elite's plant to start a civil war or to just identify all of the patriots out there who may cause problems for a more totalitarian government. I think the evidence is painting to me. I've talked about it for the 3 days now since this FBI raid. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm not saying our government is not out of control and that the FBI is corrupt at the top, has been for decades. I've kind of laid out the history of that for you. But I'm beginning to believe that this FBI raid should be in the false flag segment, because I think at this point it's become so obvious to anybody who has an independent mind or capable of critical thinking that this thing was a setup. And there's a possibility that I believe they talk about there's a mole in Mar-a-Lago. I didn't click on the story, but I saw on Drudge, they said only 6 or 8 people could be the possible mole. I would imagine that Donald Trump was in regular contact with this mole and allowed this thing to happen. I'll show you what I'm talking about in just a second. I think people who are Trump supporters are being whipped up into a frenzy just like Trump wants. And the interesting thing is that the Democrats might have been stupid enough to have fallen for this. It is very hard to tell. Now, I do believe that the Democrats actually want to prop Donald Trump up. They want to divide everybody. They want to agitate everybody. They want Donald Trump because they've got nothing else to run on. So when people say the Democrats are scared of Donald Trump, I actually believe they are encouraging him to run in any way. They want us all fighting as much as possible, and they want something to run again. I believe people are being duped again, just like the Q, but this one is actually getting more people involved than the last one. And this is something to consider. I ran across this clip. I thought this guy has something kind of interesting to say here.
Biographer of Trump with him and with family members. What do you think is going through his mind and their minds?
Oh, I think they're delighted. This is a surprising answer, but I think that they've been planning for this for years.
Yeah, and understand that Trump has been going back and forth with whatever agencies about documents. They agreed to put a lock on some door at Mar-a-Lago. This has been going back and forth. This was not some event that just surprised everybody. Donald Trump knew this was coming.
Donald Trump first did his reaction to the FBI actually having his lawyer call them Gestapo and stormtroopers.
Now, I don't disagree with this. And that's the beautiful thing about this marketing and branding message from Donald Trump. He knows that this is what people want to hear. This is the rallying cry.
50 years ago. So he's been prepared for this strategy all along. He issued a campaign-style commercial within hours.
Ding, 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 ding. I saw this thing. Did anybody else get this thing? Within hours of this event, this raid, this unexpected, unprecedented breach of national protocol and the Constitution raid, Donald Trump had an ad rolled out alluding to that exact raid. A very well-produced ad. And I did get forwarded yesterday some campaign fundraising material that's going out on this raid as well.
For this strategy all along, he issued a campaign-style commercial within hours. This was prepared in advance. So he's an expert at spinning everything into publicity. He believes all publicity is good publicity.
Ding, ding, ding.
And that hardcore Trump group, 35% of the electorate, is going to be electrified by this.
I think he's having
a good day, actually.
Absolutely. No, there is not a better thing, not a better thing to roll out a Trump 2024 announcement than this raid. It works out perfectly for him. Now, we've got people out there calling for civil war on these things. I'll show you that in just a second. This was the reliable fellow traveler Sebastian Gorka. And he's going to whip you into a frenzy as well.
For in the history of our republic, has the Federal Bureau of Investigations raided the private residence of a former president? That is exactly what happened a few minutes ago. What does it mean? Number one, it is final unequivocal proof to all Americans, whoever you voted for, that the FBI is now the political police arm of the Democrat Party and this administration. Not of the old man in the White House, who is not compos mentis, but of the radicals and the ideologues that have taken over the Democrat Party. Secondly, important to you, if they can do this to the President of the United States, the man who won 74 million votes, they can do it to you.
Now, this one cracks me up. I've seen this many times. I've seen this on memes now. If they can do this to the former president of the United States, they can do it to you. Here's the thing, Sebastian Gorka, and to everybody sharing these memes. They've been doing it to you. They've got the FBI said it was launching its largest investigation ever. Not for 9/11. Yeah, we know about that one. Matter of fact, I got a guest scheduled up from Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth coming up in a couple of weeks. Not for 9/11, for January 6th. Long before they did this little political theater raid on Mar-a-Lago, they've been coming after you. They've been coming after you for decades. So this idea that this somehow just should show everybody that if they can do this to Trump, they can do it to anyone. I guess this is breaking news. They've been doing it to everyone. This thing. Oh.
To anyone. And lastly, most important of all, it means that they have failed. They have tried everything else. Two impeachments, a January 6th committee, spurious charges, allegations in New York, and they have failed to stop President Trump. They are desperate because they have failed. He is running. But rest assured, this act by the FBI, by Merrick Garland, the DOJ, and the White House that had to approve all of it is a declaration of war against peaceful American citizens, 74 million of them. This is not America.
Now, there's Sebastian Gorka telling you, gird up for war. You will be used as cannon fodder in this. This certainly is charging up supporters. And that brings us to the media. They certainly need to play their part, whether they're actually just in on this thing. I really don't know how many things are orchestrated. I think I talked about it the other day. I'd really like to see a pie chart on how much is incompetence, stupidity, corruption, and pure evil. Very hard to distinguish, and I'm sure it's a person-by-person thing. Now, but the media is certainly playing their part here.
Sources tell ABC News there's been a strong reaction to the raid on extremists and QAnon-related forums.
Sources say there's been a strong reaction to the raid on extremist and QAnon-related forums.
Sources also telling ABC News there's been a strong reaction from some extreme groups online, including QAnon and other groups.
There's been a strong reaction to the raid on extremist and
QAnon-related forums,
including those that were active before January 6th.
I mean, our media is so disgustingly bad. You've heard of Operation Mockingbird. Here it is in practice right here. God love the people who put together these supercuts as they all read from the same script,
including those that were active prior to January 6th,
including those that were active prior to January 6th,
involved in the January 6th insurrection,
including those that were
active prior to the January 6th riot.
Some have been calling for violence and even a civil war.
Some of them include calls for violence and even a civil war.
Some of them include
calls for
violence in online forums
and even civil war.
This was the top comment on the search on the pro-Trump site, The Donald, last night. Quote, lock and load with references to a civil war.
Talking very violently about civil war.
Searches for civil war spikes.
They're talking about civil war.
Civil war.
Silver war.
Civil war.
Civil war.
Civil war.
Yeah. Yeah, that is our disgusting media reading from their script. Here's the only problem I see with that. I've actually seen these calls for a civil war. I've seen the lock and load language. Because Donald Trump's Palm Beach mansion was raided. Now, when the FBI or any of the agencies from the USDA to the SEC, anybody has been sicked on the American people for decades, no real rallying cry there. Nobody really cares when we take it in the shorts. Go after Donald Trump, though. People are actually calling for a civil war. Now, I believe that the people who are really exercised about this thing, I think Donald Trump loves this. Now, once again, I don't know. I don't know if he set this up, if he actually had the mole go in there and try to mislead the hapless Department of Justice by this idiot Merrick Garland, or if this is all orchestrated, that the Democrats are in this too. They want to actually give Donald Trump some street cred. And that's been the result of this. Now he's got this increased street cred. Look at that. He's being attacked by the powerful. Or were the Democrats just duped into doing this by a genius brander and marketing, Donald Trump? And this whole thing would be impressive to me, except that the result of this action to enhance Donald Trump's political career is the American people turning on each other and calling for civil war and all kinds of things that will destroy the lives of millions and millions and millions of Americans. And just like Operation Warp Speed was created for a political advantage, Trump rushed an untested vaccine into the market to serve Big Pharma and take credit for saving, I think the last figure I heard him say was either 10 or 50 million people's lives. He takes credit for this. That was done purely for political purposes leading into the 2020 election. He facilitated and encouraged the experimentation on the entire country with an untested genetic therapy. He gets a total pass on that, apparently. But it was done for a political calculation. This same thing is happening right now when it comes to this Mar-a-Lago raid, in my humble opinion. Now, people might disagree with me. There's a lot to talk about there. Anybody wants to call and disagree and you believe that Trump was just blindsided by this and it was just a blatant, unprovoked attack on our democracy? 601-879-0002. I'll be right back.
I went home with a waitress the way I always do. How was I?
Personally, I believe Donald Trump is geniusly playing the Department of Justice. I don't know the Democrats are really smart enough. I think they do want to run against Trump because they've got nothing else to run on. I don't know if it's effective or not. I will tell you that in 2024, my opinion is that pretty much any sane, calm Republican, and I don't want some mealy-mouthed rhino running for president and winning. I don't want Larry Hogan, he's the governor of Maryland, he's just your typical, prototypical Republican scumbag. I don't want them running. But for electoral politics, any sane, just kind of normal Republican, I believe, wipes the floor with the Democrats in 2024. They will have, and I believe what will unfold economically in this country over the next 2.5 years is going to turn the vast majority of any thinking Democrats out there, they will have had enough. The only hope the Democrats have is to get a Trump announcement of his candidacy, demonize him for 2 years, and then run against Trump in 2024. Now, I'm not saying it'll be successful, but it's their best shot. So I don't know if they're smart enough to have done all this stuff to actually kind of prop Trump up. This FBI raid is beautiful for Donald Trump. It's fantastic. And I believe that what makes the most sense to me is that probably somebody within Mar-a-Lago is the mole and duped the, you know, said, hey, y'all need to come down here, check it out. They wanted this raid to happen. The Trump camp wanted this raid to happen. Now, there's a lot about Trump has asked Merrick Garland to release the charges or whatever, you know, the details of the warrant. Trump was given these things. He actually has them. I believe the New York Post wrote a piece about this. Trump could release these details, but he's calling for them to do it, and they may do it. Rest assured, I'm sure Donald Trump wants this out there. Anything that gives him street cred with his supporters is fantastic. This is ramping up to his announcement. Now, I've got a whole host of problems with what Donald Trump did for his 4 years that many people disagree with me about, but he didn't touch any of the big things that I wanted to see touched. He expanded the debt. He didn't reduce it. He empowered the Fed. He didn't neuter them. He expanded the military. He didn't reduce it. There's a whole host of things that I was very disappointed as a 2016 Trump voter with his 4 years. Many people don't see these things. And the cherry on the cake is the trillions of dollars printed in 2020 and the unleashing of Operation Warp Speed that has killed and maimed millions of Americans and more millions outside of our borders. That is unforgivable to me, but I know I'm fairly alone in this. But I believe that this is absolutely beautiful for Donald Trump himself. So, and he's a genius in this stuff. This is what Donald Trump does. He creates the controversy to get the people riled up on his side, to get the adoring masses mobilized. And I cannot imagine how the cash registers are ringing right now at the donation sites. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Yeah, this is Chris.
Hey, what's up?
Everybody knows me as a retired FBI agent. I need to correct you on something. You mentioned an article saying that Trump has the details of the search warrant. He does not have the affidavit.
Okay.
Those are not given at the search site. What's given is the court order saying these are the particular items that they are allowed to search for. And they're usually pretty bland. It's usually like documentation, envelopes. You know, they're basically giving you a list of things so that reasonably where you would find them. So if you're there looking for a car engine, you're not going to be looking through drawers.
Right.
Unless that. So
yeah, I was trying to find this New York Post article.
Yeah, until it's unsealed, he doesn't have the affidavit.
All right. I was trying to find this New York Post article, but I don't have the link, and I didn't cut it and paste it to my things. But,
I think I'd put my answer on that a little above the New York Post since I did it for 25 years.
Yeah, I got you. Well, what do you think? I mean, is this thing not beautiful for Donald Trump? Is it not work perfectly?
I try not to get involved in the politics of it. I know when I've talked to Jameson on his show before on ongoing matters, I tend to try to keep my politics out of it. I can talk to you about the mechanics of how things happen. And that didn't happen in a vacuum. It took a while to do the planning.
Right.
To get that thing into the situation it was coming down to Mar-a-Lago. Until I see actual case files and stuff, I tend not to comment on the, like I said, the political stuff. You want to ask me anything about the mechanics of how this stuff transpires, I can answer those.
I actually find that the really what I'm looking at and what I find most interesting is the political theater aspect of it and the reactions that are coming from what's going on. And all I see is a benefit to Donald Trump. I see almost no downsides to him unless they get something and they, you know, the guy ends up getting perp walked and actually thrown in prison, which I think there's zero chance of that. I believe that most of this is political theater on both sides of the aisle, rallying their own bases around themselves, heading into a midterm election. I did quite a segment on it yesterday saying I believe this is political theater season. This is sweeps week heading into the midterms, and we are going to be treated to all kinds of twists and turns and plots during the next couple of months. So, you know, this is kind of what I see. So that's what I'm.
Yeah, I don't get into the conspiracy theories about, you know, Trump orchestrated this or it was done for a benefit or another. What I can tell you is more often than not, after 25 years, the most logical and reasonable answer usually ends up being the answer. Not always, but it usually ends up being the answer.
The Occam's razor.
Yes. Yeah. So it could be something as simple as a miscalculation by a case agent or, you know, an assistant U.S. attorney that, hey, we're going to put this into effect now, and, you know, not being concerned about, you know, how it's going to look, how it's going to affect the case. I can tell you in my experience, my view on it was how is this going to affect the investigation? Is it going to benefit the investigation and getting more information? And that more often than not, we dealt with things such as, can a subpoena get us this? Is the person, if we continue to talk to them, willing to provide this stuff? Those are typically the paths of least resistance that we go through. Now, one thing I will tell you, and unless they've changed it since I left, it was policy that there are no perp walks. So seeing people walking around with, you know, raid jackets on from any agency, especially ones connected by the FBI, seeing them with that person in handcuffs, it's against policy.
Yeah, is that the Roger Stone? Wasn't he rousted from his bed at 6 o'clock in the morning or something?
I'm not commenting on a case. I'm just telling you what policy is. We don't do the perp walks. More often than not, especially on white collar crime type cases, we would coordinate with the person's attorney.
Right.
We send a target letter to say, this is what's going to happen. We need you to meet us here. You can come in the back way. We go in, we get the business taken care of, and they move on. Now, a reason behind that is you don't want to be prejudicial to the person's case, and perp walking them definitely gives the appearance of something that it may not be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, in today's world, everybody already knows if somebody's innocent or guilty, depending on their political affiliation or their everybody. It's kind of like I saw a poll the other day. They said the January 6th hearings, after all of this hoopla and their Hollywood or ABC producer coming in and really putting the spit and polish on these things, hadn't changed anybody's minds. The people who believed it was some horrific insurrection, a threat against the country, still believe it. And the people who thought it was nothing but just a, you know, what it was, which was just a bunch of people that got over emotional, they think the exact same thing. It changed absolutely nothing. You don't change a whole lot of minds in the world today when it comes to politics.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that sunlight's always the best disinfectant, is being forthright and forthcoming. I've never been one to buy into the, well, it's an ongoing investigation, so I can't say anything.
Right. Yeah.
You don't take that position trying to protect your case while it may cause damage to the defendant.
Yeah.
So the best thing that I've seen is just be forthright. Just come out there, state the facts. Don't give your opinion on it. If you're, whether you're the attorney general or you're a public affairs person at a local office, just give the facts. People can ask you questions. If they ask you opinionated questions, you don't answer opinionated questions. You don't answer hypotheticals. You just answer based on the fact.
Well, that's what the media and the talking head shows on Sunday are for. So, yeah. All right.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah. All right, Chris, appreciate it. Thanks for the insight, man. All right, talk to you later. All right, got to take a quick break. I'll be right back.
Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Here is Trump's statement on the release of documents related to this raid. He said, not only will I not oppose the release of documents related to the un-American, unwarranted, and unnecessary raid and break into my home in Palm Beach, Florida, Mar-a-Lago, I am going one step further by encouraging the immediate release of those documents, even though they have been drawn up by radical left Democrats and possible future opponents who have a strong and powerful vested interest in attacking me, much as they have done for the past 6 years. Now, there is something known well in court. I don't know if this is always in practice, but I've always heard this. When you are in court, You never ask a question of a witness that you don't already know the answer to. Now, sometimes witnesses will either change what they say, or maybe you can go off the rails. You see moments in court where an unexpected answer comes out and either a defense attorney or a prosecutor is caught flat-footed. But generally, you want to prove a case, and so you ask the questions to get the answers that you want to help prove your case. I believe that Donald Trump knows exactly what's in these documents, whether he has a copy of them or not. And Chris is probably right. I was trying to find the actual article in New York Post that made reference to that, but I couldn't find it. I did find this one that had his statement. Trump knows, and I'm telling you, I believe this is political theater, and this is to Trump's advantage. I don't know how much he was involved in it or if he just knew it was happening, and that's why he had a commercial ready. That's why he had his fundraising ready. But it's got his people incensed that this was some kind of attack, but he's using this for his advantage. And I would imagine if he is calling for the release of these things, he wants that stuff out there. Now, if he was at all concerned about something being in there, I don't think he'd be calling for it this way. Look, he's a branding and marketing genius. I'll give him that, no doubt about it. Throughout his career, he has been that and has certainly done that politically. There has never been, I've never seen, a more passionate group of people for a single flawed human being like I've seen for Donald Trump. I find it a tad bit off-putting because you cannot even question any of these things. I mean, when I talk to Trump supporters and I ask about Operation Warp Speed, they're like, well, I mean, you know, it just, he had to do, you know, I mean, it's insane. The equivocating for that stuff. But when it comes to marketing and this kind of thing, he is a genius. And I do believe there's a very real possibility that he is playing the Democrats. What I would love to see, it would be great political theater, all the plot twists that we're going to have prior to the midterm election. I would love to see that he took out some classified documents that would be very embarrassing to somebody. And then he kind of waved them around like a red cape to a bull. Come and get them. Come and get them. Just waiting for them to hit the news. You know, I guess if they're classified, he can't just go out and bring them out into the open. So maybe he's pulled them down to Mar-a-Lago and said, I've got these things. Why don't you come get them? Let's make a big deal about it. You know, let's get this in the news. I mean, he may be playing them that hard. That would not surprise me a bit. He obviously wants this stuff out. But my point is still that the people that are getting exercised about this, that this should lead to some level of civil war. That's where the duping is. Let this thing play out. But if you think that Donald Trump is some shrinking violet, a victim in this whole thing, a martyr in this whole thing, I got to tell you, I do not. I smell a rat in that narrative. Got another caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Yeah, I was. I've been listening the last few days about this, and I guess I've got one question, and it's going to be a matter of an opinion, I suppose, on your part.
Oh, it all is. Yeah, it all
do
is.
Do you believe the election was a fair election?
No.
For the presidency, or do you think Donald Trump was robbed?
Yeah, I mean,
second term?
I think there's always shenanigans that go on, and I have absolutely no doubt that there was election fraud. But, you know, the thing to me is, you know, here's one of the biggest problems I had with the election. Donald Trump raised a lot of money for Stop the Steal, but he took $8,000 of everybody's contributions, the first $8,000, and he gave it to the Republican Party and his PAC before $1 went to challenging the elections.
But,
that's
but
suspicious
to me. That may be true, but the question is, do you think the election was stolen, not whether there was fraud? Do you think a sitting president who didn't have us in any big war could lose an election to Joe Biden, that the sitting president, Donald Trump? It's just an opinion.
Yes.
Was
now,
the election stolen from him or wasn't it?
Oh, I think it's very, I think it's probably a, yes. I would imagine that the election was stolen from Donald Trump. But let me tell you this, too. Here's why I equivocate on that a tiny bit, because I disagree with a lot of Trump supporters who say there's no way, what was the figure, 81 million people voted for Joe Biden. And I totally agree with that, except that I believe there is very real possibility that tens of millions of people voted against Donald Trump. Almost nobody voted for Biden.
But that's not the point.
It is the point because a lot of the
point.
Yes, it is the point. You asked for my opinion.
Trump
I'm trying to give it to
not,
you. I'm trying to give you my opinion. You ask for it. The okay. only hole that I see in this election was stolen thing is the supposition that there's no way that Joe Biden could have organically beat him because there's no way Joe Biden gets 81 million votes. I think that glosses over the fact that anti-Trump votes could be 81 million people. I believe that an 81 million people could have voted against Donald Trump, which means there is a possibility that that many people actually did vote against him. I'm not saying there was not election fraud, but the idea that all of these votes were just made out of cloth, because I totally agree. Nobody wants to vote for Joe Biden. The guy's uninspirational, corrupt, and just a big bag of nothing. But Trump's style attracted a lot of haters.
Mike, I'm just going to tell you my opinion is this. I've watched these presidential elections since 1960, closely. I was old enough in 1960, and I've always been interested in politics. I've never done it for a living. And, you know, I remember Carter being beaten and how that could have happened. A series of events came about. Even Jimmy Carter had a good chance of winning against the charismatic Ronald Reagan, but he didn't. So Carter was a one-term president, and that was rare. Obama did a bad job as president for 4 years, and yet somehow managed to win, you know, his second term. Now, I believe that Donald Trump, whether you like him or not, whether I like him or not, I kind of like him, frankly. I never knew anything about him. I never watched his TV show. None of that interested me. But I listened to him speak, and he said the right things.
Yeah.
I'm old enough to remember when America was a great country. It's not anymore and hasn't been for a while. And so when a man comes along and says, make America great again, I believed him. When someone asked him about his checkered past, his moral life, as if he were any more immoral than most of us, he said, well, I've got to be a good president. Will you be a good president? He said, I've got to be a good president. He laughed. He said, it's probably the only way I can get into heaven is to be a good president. When he said, let's stop illegal immigration, and I believe he meant to do it. You know, I don't mind immigration, but I do mind it in a way, because if we're poisoning the country with people who don't contribute and just, God knows, we got enough bums living here already, I liked all that. So here's the final thing. Donald Trump, was the election was stolen from Donald Trump. There's no doubt in the mind of me or any reasonable person who would look at all of the facts in toto, whether some people didn't like him or not, he won. So, you know, I guess really, if he orchestrates this raid on his house, like you seem to suggest, then I do suppose that he orchestrated the media lying about him every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on every media outlet. Every major, save for one, most of the time.
Well, I've said that the media is so easy. They're idiots.
Did he orchestrate all that so that he can come back and win re-election? Did he orchestrate?
You're saying that. I didn't say that. I told you the media are either complicit in it or they're just stupid. I mean, I believe that Donald Trump just... You don't think the media is stupid?
The media is not stupid. They're diabolically smart. And they've been controlled now for over 50 years. So I'm just making this point.
Well, I'll tell you what, Dan, when Trump announces, you and I'll sit across, I'll have you in for an hour and we'll kind of debate this, because I agree with you. Donald Trump said all the right things. I voted for the guy in 2016, but I saw a lot during 4 years that was not America first, and it did not end up helping the average person. Things that could have been done that just simply were not done. And
but,
then
but
to
many,
campaign
many
on
things, many things were done.
Well, that's what I say. Well, I'm out of time now, but we'll have this debate when he announces. I have
you bring me in. I'll take you on.
All right. All right. Thanks, man.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Okay. Got to take a break. Be right back.
Yeah. It's been a ride. I guess I had to go to that place to get to this one. Now, some of you might still be in that place if you're trying to get out. Follow me.
I like it. I told you. I've been trying to set up Friday Fight Club for a while. I'm ready to take on all comers, and I know my views on Donald Trump are wildly unpopular with people, and I'm happy to debate them. Love Dan. Dan and I talk often, and we agree on just a ton of different things. We disagree on Donald Trump, so someday Trump announces, well, I'll have him in the studio express my questions. I've actually got a document, 50 things about Trump I wonder. that's based on the 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover. Let me say this real quick, and I'm going to move on to something else. I'm just saying, probably calls for civil war for what I believe is going to show to be probably a very successful political stunt to some degree. I'm not saying Trump orchestrated this whole thing. I'm saying it's to his benefit. So just calm down and let it play out. I think he's done something kind of masterful here. There's no better way to ramp up an announcement for running again in 2024 than to rile up your entire base on something like this. I'm actually complimenting the man. It's genius. And so I'm just saying, maybe the calls for civil war, maybe you tamp those down just a tad bit and let this thing play out, and you'll see that this is not some attack on Donald Trump. This is them probably falling into his trap. So that's really all I'm saying. There's a lot of nuance to my ideas on this. Don't have time to flesh them out for today, but I'm sure we'll do it again next week. Stick around. I'll be right back.
Yeah. What is it good for?
Absolutely.
Nothing.
Uh-huh.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it's Friday. Every Friday, I've got a couple of segments I finish up the week with. The first one is False Flag Friday. A while back, I started doing COVID stuff in False Flag Friday. I don't have a lot on that now. I've got some for this week on the crazy train, but I just was looking up some stuff during the break. Do you want to know what the average age of death in the United States was from COVID? The average age of someone who died from COVID. And think about this in context of the fact that we closed down schools, we closed down colleges, we closed down businesses and churches, we stopped our entire society, closed down manufacturing. Think of all the things that we did, and now we are inoculating with an experimental gene therapy healthy 34-year-olds, healthy 18-year-olds, and healthy toddlers. What is the average age of a COVID death? 78 years old. 78 years old is the average age of the death. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. So I wanted to get into foreign policy stuff here. Benjamin Franklin said, as a quote of the day to lead us off to it, Benjamin Franklin, founding father, there was never a good war or a bad peace. They've tried to convince us otherwise in the past 60, 70 years, haven't they? Every war is a good year. A good war must be fought. We're on the side of democracy. War is the only answer. And then this from Banksy, the street artist. He said, the greatest crimes in the world are not committed by people breaking the rules, but by people following the rules. It's people who follow orders that drop bombs and massacre villages. That's a tough one to swallow for some people. This was interesting. Did you see this story that a guy was arrested for a plot to assassinate John Bolton? United States Department of Justice has charged an Iranian citizen who says it is a member of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps with attempting to hire an assassin to murder John Bolton. Bolton, as you remember, one of the architects of the Iraq War, but for some reason Donald Trump hired for 17 months, warmonger, the walrus. He was an ex-national security advisor in the Trump administration. And according to the Justice Department, Shaharam Pousafi, also known as Medhe Rezahel, ordered to pay an unnamed individual $300,000 in November 2021 to, quote, eliminate, unquote, Bolton in Washington, D.C. or Maryland. You know, I have a lot of things to say about this, so some of it might get me in trouble on the radio, but I guess the Iranian National Corps, whatever they're called, the Revolutionary Guard, doesn't listen to this radio show, or they might have approached me. John Bolton, a clear and present danger to all of humanity. Now, I do find it a little interesting. Had he been successful in this, and I don't know if this is another one of those find some weirdo on Facebook posting rants about John Bolton, FBI approaches him and says, hey, wouldn't you like to kill the person who blew the whistle on this was an FBI informant, but to read this story, maybe he was approached first and then he went to the FBI. That's very different than an FBI informant actually approaching this guy. So, you know, they've busted so many bogus terror plots that I'm always suspicious, but this might have been the real deal. But if they had assassinated John Bolton on American soil, would that be bad? Now, I'm not saying that just because I dislike John Bolton. I guess what I'm saying is we assassinated an Iranian general as he was going out to lunch with some guys in Iraq, hit him with a drone, just killed him out of the blue, Soleimani. He was actually fighting ISIS at the time, strangely enough. But if we assassinate their general and they send somebody over and pay somebody off to do a hit and assassinate John Bolton, is that not covered under kind of the same thinking? We accepted the assassination of Soleimani. Should we say, well, all's fair in love and war? I mean, we don't want to hold anybody accountable for assassinating Soleimani, so we can't hold them accountable for assassinating John Bolton. And apparently, there was a promise after this one, if you are successful with the Bolton hit for $300,000, they had $1 million on Mike Pompeo. That's how the story reads, and the indictment reads from the Department of Justice. This may be the case. But I don't know. It's one way to make some money. It's been kind of interesting listening to the news over the last couple of weeks. I've talked about the fact political theater is taking over. We're heading into the midterms. We know where they want everybody's attention to be for the next few months. But where the hell is Ukraine these days? Is anybody hearing anything about Ukraine? Doesn't seem to be too much of a thing anymore, does it? Now, apparently there's some shelling and some fighting going on around a nuclear plant over there. Some people are kind of freaking out about saying, and it's apparently, to read the sources that I've seen, is the Ukrainians that are actually dangerously, recklessly firing towards this nuclear plant that could cause another Chernobyl over there. But people really are not talking about it. I guess we kicked over that anthill over there and then we just got bored with it. The death and destruction in Ukraine has just really gotten kind of played. It's a little boring. I mean, they're still living through it right now as we speak, but, you know, we're not. It's kind of like kids when you get a pet. Oh, I swear, Mom, I'll take care of it. I'll feed it. I'll walk it. No, you won't. Yes, I will. I promise. And then when you get the pet, you know, the kid checks out. Oh, I'm going to play with my friends. What about the dog? You can walk him. You know, this is kind of the same thing. We're just going to essentially just throw a few billion dollars at Ukraine every week to 10 days. We're going to strip American taxpayers of their wealth, send it over to Ukraine and call it, you know, us doing something. So we'll see. But maybe it is this. A lot of news came out, and I wish I had a better clip than this one, but some news came out about Ukraine. As a matter of fact, a lot of news has been coming out about Ukraine, and it's why the media may be losing interest in this. Amnesty International, no right-wing conservative group for sure, came out and blew the whistle on where the Ukrainian troops seem to be basing their operations within Ukraine.
On Thursday, the human rights group Amnesty International published a scathing report accusing the Ukrainian military of stationing its troops near civilian areas in ways that may amount to war crimes.
No.
Almost as quickly as it was released, Ukrainian and international experts condemned the report as misleading. Joining us now from Kyiv is NPR's Yulian Haida, who has been following this for us. Welcome.
And here you go. Here is the NPR Ukraine apologist. Pay no attention to the fact that the Ukraine government is known to be massively corrupt, that they banned all political parties, that they took media off the air, that they have been trying to ethnically cleanse part of their country where the ethnic Russians live and have killed 14,000 ethnic Russians over the past 8 years. Pay no attention to those things. This guy's going to, oh, I don't know about this report.
Hi, Daniel.
First question, is the amnesty report credible?
Well, critics from Ukraine's president on down say that the report amounts to disinformation. And Amnesty's own Ukraine office says that the foreign-based researchers glossed over critical information that can be easily manipulated or misunderstood. Now, I don't think there's much doubt that what the researchers saw is technically true, that there are situations where soldiers are quartered in homes next.
I love the inflection there. I think I used this on the show myself. Well, there are situations where the Ukrainians do set up shop in schools and hospitals while patients and students are there. I mean, I guess if you want to be if you want to be nitpicky about it, yes, they've been using human shields. But, you know, and then there's always the but afterwards. So anyway, Amnesty International came out and accused the Ukrainian army of holding up among the population to use for human shields. CBS also, and this is the CIA network, so I don't know exactly what the play is going on right now when it comes to Ukraine. We may be cutting them loose. I don't know. Maybe we figured out we can't be victorious there, but that's never really stopped them. So I'm not sure what's going on, but CBS was I think they started to run, may have actually ran the story, and then I think they pulled it. Don't quote me on that, but I think they pulled it.
In the past 2 months, we've moved weapons and equipment to Ukraine at record speed. Drones, grenade launchers, machine guns.
We're seeing this incredible, historic flow of weapons coming into Ukraine. Do we have any sense as to where they're going?
We don't know. There is really no information as to where they're going at all.
You know, all this stuff goes to the border, and then kind of like something happens, it kind of like you. 30% maybe we just fund this nation.
Yeah, so tens of billions of dollars of U.S. taxpayer money is used to pay the defense contractors, the military industrial complex, for all these weapons. We ship them over there and they're like, oh, we don't really know what's happening to them. I think about maybe 30% of them actually get to where they're supposed to be going. But really, once they get into Ukraine, the corruption and the gangs and the gun runners, the weapons dealers that have been known to have infested Ukraine for quite a period of time. Places just massively corrupt. They just start divvying them up, stealing them. They're saying that some of these weapons are ending up in Serbia and other places around Eastern Europe.
30%.
Are you concerned about weapons getting in the wrong hands?
Nah. I don't care at all whether that happens.
What sort of a unit do you command?
Can't say.
Okay.
You know, they're like power lords, oligarchs, political players.
One of the biggest targets are convoys like this transporting weapons.
Europeans had come to believe that that project of integration had effectively meant the banishment of armed force. All of a sudden, not far from the borders of the EU, was the most significant war since World War II.
Ah, the sound of the rockets launching. So we don't know what's happening over there. We're not getting, it doesn't feel like, now I don't watch mainstream news, so, but, you know, I'm kind of on the periphery. I'm out there enough to get a sense of what's gaining traction. I'm just not hearing a whole lot about Ukraine, and these could be the reasons why. It's being exposed as just being an absolute cluster over there. This is the ongoing disaster. Of course, the U.S. taxpayer is still footing the bill for all of it. I'll be right back. When we look throughout history or even look at current events right now, I think probably the most damaging organization on planet Earth right now, I mean some real gangsters, is the United States State Department. It's got to be responsible for more misery and suffering around planet Earth than any other single organization, and that's including whatever Russia's got in store for the Ukrainians right now. That's an isolated event. It's horrific. It's terrible. I wish it wasn't going on. But when it comes to just really spreading out misery and death around the world, the U.S. State Department has no rivals. This was a story. The U.S. threatens African nations with sanctions if they buy Russian products other than grain. U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. Linda Thomas Greenfield warned African countries last week not to purchase anything from Russia besides grain and fertilizer, or else they could face sanctions. Don't you just love this? Can you just imagine being some country and just saying, well, Russians have got oil we want, they've got natural gas we want, they've got wheat, they got fertilizer, we're going to buy these things for our country. And the United States State Department comes up and goes, you can't. We don't like the Russians, so you can't buy anything for your sovereign nation from them. And if you do, we're coming for you next. We caution countries not to break those sanctions because then they stand the chance of having sanctions, having actions taken against them. Thomas Greenfield said that purchasing Russian oil risks sanctions, even though many of the United States' European allies are still buying Russian crude before a ban takes effect at the end of the year. Many African nations, including Uganda, have not joined the U.S. in condemning Russia's invasion of Ukraine and have rightfully blamed Western sanctions as well as the war for raising food prices and are exacerbating shortages. Boy, that's we put it, this is every administration. The State Department of the United States running around the world telling sovereign nations who they can buy and sell to is absolutely disgusting, and it ends up with a bunch of misery. When it comes to Africa, though, let's see. We got a new leader there. This is kind of funny, I guess.
Today, an historic promotion in Washington. Marine Corps Lieutenant General Michael E. Langley sworn in as a four-star general. He's the first black four-star in the Marines' 246-year history. Starting Monday, Langley will command all U.S. military forces in Africa.
They got their first four-star general in the Marines that's black. They gave him Africa. I don't know. Seems a little spot on, doesn't it? Don't you love the idea as the U.S. taxpayer? Take a look at your federal withholding and your paychecks today. It's Friday, after all. Take a look at those. Did you know we have troops all throughout Africa? Oh, of course, we've got troops everywhere. One other thing, and I can't help myself. One of the problems that I had with Donald Trump was some of his foreign policy stuff. While not as bad as some people, he still just managed to squeeze in some really, really horrific things. And one of my big, kind of my rules is I just don't want to vote for anybody that I could accuse of legitimately of war crimes. And that's been pretty much every president in modern times. The one thing that Trump did that I think was especially despicable is that he sent or he left a bunch of troops in Syria to steal their oil. There's not a way to sugarcoat that. That's not for national security. We have taken over the Syrian oil fields, and I've asked this many times, what would we think if China took over West Texas oil fields and deprived us of the use of any of these natural resources that are within our borders? No, we have left a contingent of soldiers. Donald Trump did, as he withdrew us rightfully from Syria, but he left some people there to take the oil. Syrian oil ministry released a statement on August 9th accusing U.S. forces occupying Syria of being responsible for the theft of most of the country's oil. Statement went on to say that U.S. occupation forces and their mercenaries, referring to the U.S.-backed Syrian Democratic Forces, the SDF, steal up to 66,000 barrels every single day from the fields occupied in the eastern region. According to the ministry's data, the Syrian oil sector has incurred losses nearing about $105 billion since the beginning of the war until the middle of this year. On August 10th, footage filmed by a Russian attack helicopter was released on social media showing a convoy of trucks operated by the U.S. military smuggling stolen oil destined for Iraq out of Raqqa. Recently, the U.S. Army, which currently occupies Syria, has been consistently looting the country's oil and smuggling it into their bases in Iraq through the illegal Al-Alawid border crossing. And they've got videos of these things. Local sources in Syria's Hasaka governorate reported on August 6th that the U.S. Army looted and smuggled dozens of oil tankers out of the country, making it the second stolen oil shipment by the U.S. that week. Nearly 200 tanker trucks filled with looted oil were smuggled out of Syria by U.S. troops in July alone, as Washington has intensified its practice of stealing Syrian resources to sell abroad. So Trump leaves them in there to steal the oil, and Joe Biden's keeping it going. These people need to rebuild their country after a civil war that was really exacerbated by the United States. We're going to take that one thing they've got where they could actually have the money to rebuild their country, and we're stealing it from them. That is plunder. It is a war crime. And not to mention the fact the Syrian people never did anything to the people of the United States. Not even accused of it. This is all based on we don't like their president. He's a bad guy. So we need to go in and get rid of him. We started a civil war, paid radical jihadists in Syria to level the place. And now when the thing is over and we've lost interest, we stayed there with just enough troops to continue to steal their oil so they can't rebuild their country. That is a war crime, and it should be talked about as one. One other crime that the Biden administration is patting themselves on the back for. This is just so sick to me. You know, I know a lot of people can listen to my show and go, he doesn't support the troops. Because this brainwashing weirdness of you've got to support every war, that's somehow supporting the troops. You don't notice that our troops get killed and maimed and mentally damaged in all of these conflicts for no reason. It's not benefiting the American people. I do support the troops. I believe, in my mind, I support them a hell of a lot more than most people who cheer for sending them all over the world to get involved in pointless conflicts. I support keeping them safe, healthy, happy, with their families and productive members right here in the United States. That's how I support the troops. This is how the government supports the troops. President Joe Biden signed the PACT Act, promise to address comprehensive toxics, pact into law Wednesday, expanding health care benefits for veterans who were exposed to toxic burn pits. Quote, "This is the most significant law our nation has ever had passed to help millions of veterans who were exposed to toxic substances during their military service." This is what Biden said before signing the bill. Burn pits were open-air trash sites that dispose of military waste through burning. It exposed about 3.5 million veterans to toxic chemicals that could result in respiratory illness or various forms of cancer, according to the Department of Defense. And it took them forever to even admit that. Veterans have been denied disability benefits and medical care because there is a lack of concrete evidence directly linking burn pits with illness. The PACT Act codifies a relationship between specific illnesses and cancers with burn pits, lifting the burden of proof from veterans who won't have to argue with the Department of Veteran Affairs about their illnesses to receive benefits. So we take these kids, these moms and dads, brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, ship them halfway around the world to fight and die in the sand, expose them to toxic chemicals, and then for decades deny them even care for these things. Now we're going to pat ourselves on the back that we damaged these people's health. Many of them have died. We're going to pat ourselves on the back. The Biden administration is going to steal money from the American people to help veterans treat illnesses that were caused by our own government. Listen to what the disgusting piece of human refuse Nancy Pelosi said. Quote, "Toxic exposure is a cost of war, and we must treat it as such. This is not a question of dollars. It's a matter of values." Nancy Pelosi says, oh, yeah, I mean, we're going to poison our kids. Oh, they're going to get poisoned when we ship them off halfway around the world to fight and die in the sand or in the muck or wherever we send them next. Oh, yeah, we're going to poison them. So, but we do have the values to help them when they come back treat the poisoning that we let them undergo. Statement released by Kevin McCarthy, the Republican minority leader, said he criticized the bill's cost, blaming a, quote, budget gimmick that would allow more reckless spending by Democrats. McCarthy was one of the 88 no votes when the bill passed the House. He's probably right about that, but doesn't seem to anybody. I'm looking at all the Sherrod Brown says it's a huge victory for veterans. One of the most important things we've done ever done for vets. Yeah, we poisoned them, denied them treatment for 20 years. Now we're going to steal some money from the American taxpayer and throw a few bucks at them because they just won't shut up about this Gulf War syndrome. No, nobody's saying, you know what? This whole war was so ill-advised. I can't believe we poisoned our own troops. On the Senate floor Tuesday afternoon, Senator Jerry Morgan, Republican from Kansas, ranking member of the Veterans Affairs Committee, implored his colleagues to, quote, deliver the most comprehensive toxic exposure package to veterans in our country's history. This is just really disgusting stuff. What we do to these troops. What we subject them to. And for 20 years, the Department of Veteran Affairs has tried to ignore them, tried to deny them care. And now we're patting ourselves on the back for finally treating a disease that we caused in the first place. We spent trillions of dollars, ended up poisoning our own soldiers. I don't understand how wars have become so accepted, how troop deployments in the United States have become so accepted, and then we allowed these kinds of conditions to even be around our troops. And then we pat ourselves on the back, because we may help them get cancer treatments for the cancer that our own government caused. Unbelievable stuff. Be right back. What's your frequency, can it this y'all been so drained? All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WIAB. About to put another week in the books, so we do it the same way every Friday as we chronicle the world's descent into madness in this segment called This Week on the Crazy Train. All aboard! The thing that has kept me sane, I've reported on it often, is memes. I love this one. So, you know, there's usually some humor in this. And I've actually even got, within this segment, I've got some sane stuff going on, too. So that's good news. This was a meme that was put out just when I'm on the verge of growing cynical about our society. I see an old woman smile and give up her seat for a pregnant man. You know, I'm always on the lookout for kind of the image of the year. And my one that I remember most vividly, I think it was 2019. I've kind of fallen down on this. Might have been 2020, where they found a naked man doing jumping jacks in a McDonald's women's bathroom. And I just felt like it had it all. You know, blatant yet subtle, bizarre messaging. The guy's in the wrong room. He's naked, an obvious sign of insanity, and he's in a horrific fast food restaurant. I mean, it had it all. But 2021, I never really identified anything, but I don't know why I was thinking about this the other day. I think that thing, the meme I just read made me think of it. I think the image of the year for 2021 was Pete Buttigieg. I believe this was last year. Pete Buttigieg and his husband sent out a birth announcement picture of their baby where they were in a hospital bed, making it appear subtly, yet bizarrely, making it appear that his husband, I guess, had just given birth to this child. Now, obviously, two gay men who adopt a newly born baby could take this picture in the parking lot. I'm surprised they didn't have him in a wheelchair, but they had Pete Buttigieg and his husband in a hospital bed with their new baby. This may have been my image of the year. Just kind of a callback to that. All right. As I said, there's some insanity and some sanity here. Here's a fun one. Let's see if I can get up here to it. I usually start this segment with stuff around the disease, the coof. But we've had other diseases. Obviously, the monkeypox has been driving the news for the past couple of months. Well, they're not done with us yet. How about this one?
After decades off our collective radar, polio has once again reared its head, with health experts urging unvaccinated Americans to get inoculated against the disease.
Never have guessed it in a million years that it would pop up again.
Officials in New York State confirm wastewater samples collected in Orange County contain the paralyzing and potentially deadly virus. Those tests ordered after a 20-year-old man in nearby Rockland County tested positive last month. Experts fear hundreds more are infected.
So I would assume that we have people that are positive from it.
This latest strain also detected in the United Kingdom and Israel. For decades, polio has only been active overseas, namely in Afghanistan and Pakistan.
So this is interesting. It's almost like these countries, the UK, the United States, and Israel, have done something maybe to damage their immune system. So this old disease that we thought had eradicated has made a comeback. What could possibly have caused that?
Once it gets into your body, it can cause fevers, flu-like symptoms, your body aches. But in some people, they actually get a paralysis.
Officials noting the New York man who tested positive last month never received the widely available vaccine, a four-dose regimen recommended for kids under six. His case marking the first in the U.S. since 2013. The last time a case originated here, 1979.
So there we go. more 1970s callbacks for the inflation. Now we got polio is with us, too. yeah, there's probably a lot more to that story. We'll see if that continues to develop. For his part, Dr. Ryan Cole is out talking about the shots.
And
not the polio shots, but the COVID shots. I guess the polio shots are, I guess they're manufacturing them right now. That'll be our next big push. You heard a four-dose regimen. Cha-ching.
The cells don't lie. The blood patterns don't lie. The dead people don't lie. And the deposition of the spike protein in tissues doesn't lie. So you can attack me. You don't have to like me. I've lost some of my largest clients because they're like, oh, you're too controversial. I'm like, controversial? I'm a pathologist. I don't create a disease. I don't prevent a disease. I am the reporter at the scene of the accident. I report the disease. I am observing patterns. We have definitely seen an uptick of many patterns that are unusual. Pathologists are the quality control of medicine. Attack me all you want. But that's your own insecurity and the fact that you can't come forth with data to counter what I am saying. And I'm not the only one seeing this. Oncologists everywhere I travel now in the country and the world, been in France, been in England recently, pathologists, other physicians, oncologists, radiation oncologists, radiologists, they're seeing it. I was on a big Zoom call with a large group in New York yesterday. So one gal was talking to the gal doing her mammogram, and she said, are you seeing an uptick in breast cancers? And she said, are you kidding me? We're seeing tons of 20 and 30-year-olds coming in with breast cancer, and about 99% of people in their population are jabbed. And so a radiologist here just across the state calls me and says, I just saw two high-grade breast cancers in two 31-year-old women 4 weeks after their booster. And chair of oncology at a large hospital in Florida just a month ago said, hey, doc, thanks for speaking out. I usually see an aggressive brain cancer in a young patient about every decade or so. I've seen five in the last month after the boosters. And so left and right, wherever I go, the medical community is starting to speak up and confirm what I'm seeing. In England, a week and a half ago, same thing. Doc came up to me, a doctor from Ireland, doctor from England, a nurse who's been in medicine for 30 years. They're like, hey, we're seeing it, and it's in young patients, and it's aggressive, and we have patients that have been cancer-free for 3, 4, 5 years. All their scans are clear. They get that booster, and now they have stage 4 disease again.
Boy. This is absolutely horrific. I'm going to do more on this next week. I've got a whole compilage of clips coming out about these shots. Doctors are starting to wake up, and God help their souls. And I mean that, you know, they were duped. They should have been more suspicious. I've got all my criticism in the world for the medical establishment for accepting these experimental shots. But God help them when they come to this realization. Oh my God, what have I done to my friends, to my families? If this thing continues to careen off the tracks as it seems to be. Had they only just investigated it, listened to the early warning signs, slowed down, asked questions, and done some research, probably a lot of people could have been saved. Instead, they just bought into the fear, the propaganda, and the hypochondria of COVID and the efficacy of these shots by press release from pharmaceutical companies, and they pushed these things on everybody from toddlers all the way to seniors. Australia is not going to look into the problems they're having with shots either. They've got a different approach to handle the problems that they may be experiencing in Australia these days.
Thousands of home defibrillators are being rolled out in Australian homes with hopes that one day every household will have one. They weigh less than half a kilogram. They're easy to use if anyone suddenly collapses.
Every year in Australia, around 25,000 people go into sudden cardiac arrest. 80% of those happen at home, but less than 3% survive.
Sudden cardiac arrest is sudden, instant, surprising. You need something immediate because after 10 minutes, it's virtually impossible to bring you back.
You can now purchase a miniature AED, a key life-saving device, to keep at home.
So that's what Australia's going to do. They're just going to try to give everybody a defibrillator. Jeez Louise. Whew. Oh, gosh. I told you there's some sanity out there. This was kind of good news. When I saw the headline, I got a little bit more excited, but it's still, you know, progress. Anthony Fauci threw out the first pitch at a Seattle Mariners baseball game, and the crowd was less than enthusiastic, even in Seattle.
Boo. Boo.
Boo. Yeah, there you go. So at least some boos for Anthony Fauci. The tide is turning. This guy's going to be running for his life soon. And on the sane train, instead of the insane train, Denmark has announced that people under the age of 18 are no longer allowed to get the COVID vaccine. Denmark has announced that people under the age of 18 are no longer allowed to get the COVID vaccine. Think about that as your pediatrician recommends it to your toddler. I'll be right back.
From all over the world, this is Captain America calling. I bailed you out when you were down on your knees, so will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, we're on the home stretch here, heading into a weekend. Before I leave, let me remind you, if you were looking for somewhere to eat where you can get great food at great prices from a great staff, make sure you check out Your Pie up in Gluckstadt. They are at 340 Calhoun Station Parkway, right there by Germantown High School. 10 14-inch brick oven-fired pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, gelato, beer, and wine. TVs for anything you might want to watch. If you really got to get a group together to watch the cornhole tournament that'll be on Sunday morning, for some reason ESPN keeps putting some of the most bizarre sports on national television. But anyway, you want to catch a game, you can head out to Your Pie as well. They do trivia on Wednesday nights. A lot of fun. People come out there every weekend, every Wednesday for that. But I also had this Cubano pizza. I just tried it yesterday. It's very, very good. And so this is their Craft Series pizza. They'll have it for a limited amount of time. So get out to YourPie, Express Your Inner Pizza. Make sure you get the YourPie app. You'll want to scan the barcode on every receipt that you log, and you'll get points for free pizzas and pastas and desserts and all kinds of good stuff there. So that is YourPie Pizza, 340 Calhoun Station Parkway. You can also get them through most of the major delivery services, so check them out there. But head to the restaurant if you can. All right, on to this week on the Crazy Train. We'll finish up here. I said there's some sane stuff here. I wish there's no good clip of it. No good clip of it. But the greatest moment of this week was when Joe Biden forgot he just shook Chuck Schumer's hand during I think it was this passage of this ridiculous bill. And he tried to shake it again. It looked like completely lost. No good clip of that. But there was Schumer. Schumer was asked. They passed. The Senate passed. And it sounds like the House is poised to do it. Passed this ridiculous inflation protection, inflation exacerbation act that they've got going on. A lot of economists have pointed out, well, we've pointed out here probably across WYAB, is that this will actually cause more inflation. You can't spend your way out of inflation. It actually makes it worse. A lot of economists agreed, and they asked Chuck Schumer about that.
Senator, 230 economists wrote letters to Congress saying that the Inflation Reduction Act would actually add to inflation. Penn Wharton's budget model said the same thing. If there's a chance that these people are right, is now the right time to do this, considering how high
they're wrong?
Well, good. They're wrong. It's good to get a good explanation, a good debate going, you know, on exactly why it is that this won't work. Joe Biden delivered some great news, as I talked yesterday with Stone Clanton from Americans for Prosperity. Boy, this act worked so fast. And it didn't even pass the House yet. And already Joe Biden says the inflation's gone.
Danielle, thank you. Before I begin today, I want to say a word about the news that came out today relative to the economy. Actually, I just want to say a number. Zero. Today,
the amount of confidence the American people have in my presidency.
We received news that our economy had 0% inflation in the month of July.
God, oh, man. Holy cow. Woo, this bad guy is bad. Inflation's gone, luckily, because it's had some weird effects on our society. A combination of inflation and rising crime has caused one New York City store to lock up its spam and plastic theft prevention cases. Shoppers at Duane Reade, located in the Port Authority Bus Depot, were faced with the secured cans, which cost $3.99 each. This story went on to say they're locking up some other things, too. Let's see what it was. As prices and crime skyrocket, New York City stores have taken to locking up staples like toothpaste and soap to prevent crooks from stealing and then hawking the products on the sidewalk or online marketplaces like Amazon and eBay. Yet some shoppers were confused why Spam, along with $1.89 cans of Starkist tuna, was enclosed under plastic. Good Lord. Oh, the Spam thieves. They're notorious. Here we go. Here's a couple of here's a sane thing. Carrie Lake, she's one of these candidates for Arizona governor. She put this out in a tweet, and really, this really is good news. I will say this. She said, George P. Bush lost his race in Texas. Liz Cheney is about to lose her race in Wyoming. For the first time in nearly 50 years, there will be not a single Bush, Cheney, Clinton, Obama, or McCain at any level of government. Political dynasties are dead in America. This is the way. Amen. Think about that. 50 years of Bush, Cheney, Clinton, Obama, and McCain. Finally been dispatched with those people. This is golden. This is just absolutely fantastic. In light of the raid on Mar-a-Lago, just right on time, there were protesters rolled out to Mar-a-Lago, pro-Trump protesters to Mar-a-Lago, and the anti-Trump protesters with a really big, nicely done printed sign, almost like they were ready for this thing, appeared at Trump Tower the next day, you know, to call. And the big banner that they've rolled out is Arrest Trump. So Newsmax went out and interviewed the people to ask them what they're doing there and why they want to see the former president arrested. They're a very smart people. Check out the reasoning they have for arresting Donald Trump.
Is this
Trump.
Unprecedented to arrest a former president for not turning in documents?
The former president that had committed this many provable criminal acts.
But what are the provable criminal acts, I guess?
Provable criminal acts. Well, I'm done talking.
Is this unprecedented?
Oh, we got to do it again.
Turning in documents?
The former president that had committed this many provable criminal acts.
But what are the provable criminal acts, I guess?
Provable criminal acts. Well, I'm done talking.
Is this unprecedented?
So many provable criminal acts. All right, can you name one for us? I'm done talking. Let's see. What else do we have here? Oh, the UN. Oh, boy, I'm going to run out of time. I can't even get into my green stuff. I'll have it, save it for next week. Well, the UN's taking action on something important.
The United Nations has declared war on conspiracy theories, describing the rise of conspiracy thinking as worrying and dangerous, and providing the public with a toolkit to pre-bunk and debunk anybody who dares to suggest that world governments are anything but completely honest, upstanding, and transparent. The UN also warns that George Soros, the Rothschilds, and the State of Israel must not be linked to any alleged conspiracies. The
and their statement assures that we will look immediately to those three groups.
The UN has teamed up with Twitter, the European Commission, and the World Jewish Congress to launch the campaign dubbed Think Before Sharing, Stop the Spread of Conspiracy Theories. The UN wants you to know that events are not secretly manipulated behind the scenes by powerful forces with negative intent. And if you encounter anybody who thinks the global elite are conspiring to consolidate power and dictate global events, you must take action.
Yeah, well, I think they need to shut down the internet for 2 weeks to slow the spread of disinformation. That would do it all. Look, that's all the time I've got. I hope everybody has a fantastic weekend. Check out Your Pie while you're out and about, and I'll see you Monday. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.